What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
Story. A lot of people don't know this. Byron Menz, the guy who played Ray Ray in the movie, at the end of the movie, my character was supposed to shoot him and take my son and leave. And my thing was, I wasn't going to be a part of black on black crime at the end of any movie that I was starring in. Wasn't going to have that happen. Another thing, they wanted to give me a wife.
Glenn Plummer says he fought to change South Central's ending. Then the whole set started crying.
They wanted to give me a wife that, I said, no, we're not doing that. I want a chocolate sister to play my wife in this movie. So Byron was like, no, man, if you don't shoot me, how you going to get the out of my hand? So days went, go in the room, me and him, and just improv, do whatever we could do, just trying to figure out. And then one day I just said, you know what, let's just go do it. And we did it. Everything I did at that moment was not me.
Ray, that boy you're holding is my son. I'm willing to die here today, Ray, for my boy. All I want is to give him something that you or I never had. A father.
I opened up as a vessel and it all just poured in and poured out. And I just remember sitting there and doing it. And I wasn't there. It was happening. And I remember the little kid started crying. Byron started crying. The dude that was behind me started crying. And I looked around and the cameraman was crying and the AD was crying and the costume was crying. And the director was crying. Everybody lost it. I couldn't take credit for it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us for another edition of Philly Fridays. And y'all doing it right here with us live from the 215 on FetLife Station at FetLifeStation.com. You also have the wonderful opportunity to catch us in streaming mode by simply Googling or going through your search engine and finding us at the True Stories Podcast Network, the True Stories Podcast Network, where you can catch us on all the latest podcasts that have been done by or created by, you know, all of us on this station. And I want to particularly speak to those of you who are like, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. Yeah, you can't leave. Sonny already told y'all. Y'all should have been paying attention at the end of Bronx Tale. But speaking of paying attention, you know, from time to time, I want to talk about some really, you know, strong brothers who moved the needle in regards to the visual image and people who are conscious of the image of black men in regards and black males in regards to media and shaping the actual notion or shaping the perspectives on what's expected from these particular characterizations of, you know, everyday black men. Lord knows we don't get any favors. We're not shown any favor on the 6 o'clock news. Can I get a... You're absolutely right. So that was a clip by the brother Glenn Plummer. Glenn Plummer, who was the star of the movie South Central. That, you know, turned into an urban hood classic in the mid-90s. And if any of you are interested or can, you know, try to reach back and think about who this brother was, if you didn't see South Central, you saw this brother who he played the mentor to Cain in Minister Society. All right. He was the one that actually had the child by Jada Pinkett set up with a house. You know, I believe his name was Cornell in that particular movie. All right. So this is a brother who stated that he did not want a movie he was starring in to end in violence and black on black violence. And if many of you remember, and we didn't get into it, but I would love to pick his mind to wonder, to see if the ending of Minister Society actually played a part. You know, because Minister Society ended with the main character dying by a drive-by, you know. So I'm just wondering if that played a role in him saying any movie that he starred in, he would not allow for there to be black on black crime in terms of, you know, that's the ending, that would be the lasting part that people, the audience, would go off with. So I'd be interested, but shout out to him for standing tall and showing that, you know, brothers, you know, when we drop our nuts, people notice and we get shit done, you know, hallelujah. So, but then, you know, speaking of, and hopefully you all have by now tuned in to the latest episode of On the Shoulders of Giants, with our Wednesday night breakdown with myself, hosted by my good brother, Joseph Ward, and Patrick Irvin, and our discussion on the ongoings and the investigation of the case considered, you know, and with the young brother Nolan Wells, who was, you know, we can say it, you know, allegedly murdered at in Mississippi. I believe it was on Horns Island. I believe it's like an island with an inlet island. So, and you know, in terms of like discussing the case, and I speak strongly about this, and I don't care if it gets ratings or not. As a black man who understands the history of America and its war on black males and black men, as spoken to, you know, you got presidents who've acknowledged this. Richard Nixon acknowledged the war on black men, on the black community, but it was black men. All right. This whole system and society was based in criminalizing the existence of black males and black men. You know, all the slave codes, all of the different vagrant laws, vagrancy laws and policies that were put in place. Sam Cooke made a song about it. I remember the sound of a man working on a chain gang. All right. So the, you know, towns like the towns that many people heard about or know about that were torched. I mean, Rosewood, you had what was the place in South Carolina? It's not Charleston. It'll come to me. But, you know, all of the different burnt town, those riots of, you know, 1898, Wilmington, North Carolina. Sorry, Wilmington, North Carolina. All right. All the way up to the one we always talk about in Tulsa. That was a war on black men. All right. Black males were the catalyst. If you read the propaganda in the newspapers, all of it was propaganda. And this was a young black male who allegedly, you know, this is so far the evidence is pointing to some foul play with one of the members of his friend group. The young brother was trying to talk to his ex-girlfriend. How are you not teaching your child about certain lines you don't cross and certain places you don't put, certain dangers you don't put yourself in? And this is what I call irresponsible parenting. And I know I'm going to catch a lot of flack for this and a lot of flack for that. But if you don't prepare your child for the world, and you're the one that's responsible for the outcomes of your child in the world. And I used to go to high schools, and the first thing I would do is I would apologize to the students. And I would apologize specifically, you know, as an elder to them. Even though I don't have any children, I'm part of a generation that brought children into this world that we did not prepare. We did not terraform an environment tantamount to not just their success, but their overall survival. And then we did not prepare them to deal with the terrain that they would have to overcome to just exist in peace in the society. I don't water it down for anybody about my experiences as a black man. Hell, a lot of times black men have been put in front of me as opposition as they're moved along and pawns in a little game they don't control or they don't knowingly control. Because I'm not going to cut slack for them either. A lot of coons out there. They take pleasure. I always go back to when you watch the movie Roots and they're trying to get Kunta Kinte to change his name to Toby. The plantation owner, the white man, he might have been saying your name is Toby, but he wasn't the one wielding the whip. So I always take that into account when I think about situations and circumstances. Now let's get back to this kid. This is not a new story about a black kid disappearing with some white kids and then coming out missing. You rarely hear a story the other way around, by the way. And I'm only touching on this because we spoke on it on the show. But there was a case, 2013, in Valdosta, Georgia, where a kid named Kendrick Johnson went missing for a while, and then he was found in his high school gymnasium, wrapped up in a gym mat. The cause of death, according to the medical examiner, when they did the autopsy, cause of death was asphyxiation because apparently too much blood rushed to his head. Now, the excuse that was given, that this was considered accidental death, self-inflicted accidental death, because they claimed that he was reaching, he had lost his shoe in a gym mat, rolled up gym mat, and he dove into the gym mat head first and couldn't get out. Now, when you see the fact that the gym mat, when you roll the gym mat up, there's barely enough room to fit a grapefruit through there, through the hole that's left in the top, let alone a full-fledged 17-year-old boy, full length. And then what do we find out? That he was beefing with these two brothers, end up fighting the two brothers on the school bus. Apparently, they were supposed to meet up again for a fair one in the gym. Next thing you know, Kendrick's dead. You have the police refusing to investigate the usual suspects. And then you find out the usual suspects, their father is an FBI agent who then threatened the family of Kendrick Johnson. They've been trying for years to do a documentary on this. So what I'm saying is, parents, if you're not preparing your child with a message like this,
the hunt is on. And you're the prey.
You're doing a child a great disservice as black children, and more importantly, black males. We can go into the black women too, who are out there, who are uninformed and end up being unalived and all of this OnlyFans dating and things of that nature. We can talk about that too. But you know what? That's somebody else's platform for them to discuss. Because, you know, over here, you know, respectfully, you know, this channel is about, well, this particular show, we leaning into the brothers in terms of, like, you know, we're censoring the black males because we don't get censored anywhere else. So with that in mind, as we transition, hold on. All right, we're going to transition into the next phase of the show because what we're really here to talk about, all right, that was just my little monologue. What we're really here to talk about is there's a, this something, what I'm about to say is not new, right? And this is just, you know, the talking to young brothers and, you know, actually seeing this with my own eyes at a 4-year at my alma mater, went there for a scholarship luncheon to find out the young brothers of the football team really wasn't, they weren't dating anybody. Where have you heard that before? So, but then you start thinking about like the whole concept and the process of what's out there for them, right? And you know, this is one of the things that, you know, and this is one of the things that we've been hearing that brothers have finally picked up on. And I'm glad they finally picked up on this, right? Check this out. This is Ask a Brother Podcast, host Dr. Jeff St. James, and this is his women's panel that he's talking to. Check him out.
Women that hate everything that men are saying don't like men. They like their resources. How do most women... Well, let's say specifically the black community, black women react and respond when they hear what black men say about what they prefer with hair.
We don't do it for you. We do it for ourselves.
Okay. Same with makeup, right? Same with how they dress. We'll try to explain, hey, even what you're co-signing on social media with some other women's behavior that's very concerning. We don't like seeing very toxic stuff being done to another black man and black women supporting it because a black woman's doing it. We literally tell you this. And when Kanye said Instagram got your B, social media got your woman, that's real. So when I made that statement, I think a month or so ago, when I said this whole all skin folk is kinfolk thing is gone. If you don't listen to me, if you don't respect me, if you don't like my standards, if everything I'm telling you that makes me more attracted to you, you don't want to do and let me know is not for me, it's for you. You're functionally operating for the female gaze, not the male gaze. Women that hate everything that men are saying don't like men. They like their resources. So if you got a real attitude and you get defensive about every single thing that we say out loud or even privately, and this is the crazy part, you'll insulate yourself from criticism by saying we hate women, we hate our own mamas. When we go to the women that are giving us those things, you call us sellouts. And you're attacking men from both angles. It's real bad.
And I'm going to go a little further on what he was saying, man. Because one of the things I noticed, and it's funny, I just really picked this up just because y'all hear the clip, I'm actually watching it. And one of the things that I'm watching is there's five women that he's talking to. All five, was it four or five? Let me just go back. Let me go back and make sure it's four or five. Because I just got lost in some of the, you know, Jeff is good with some of the clips. So in terms of like putting the clips in. No, there's four women in this clip. All four of the women have horn. Either wigs or weaves. You can't make this shit up. All right. In addition to it. So, and you should see them sinking in their chairs right now as the clip was playing. But then there's also like the aesthetic that he's talking about. And you know what? I was interesting enough, right? Because men, brothers have specifically said, we don't like the septum rings, the million and one piercings. like, okay, we don't like the tattoos, but if you got the tattoos, sometimes brothers will, oh, it's gotten to the point where we're settling for saying, okay, well, we'll deal with this. We'll deal with that. But it's still not enough. It's still not enough. And then, you know, and I'm going to tell you right now, I hate that plastic weave, the plastic. I hate that shit. Do y'all, and y'all, you know, y'all like to snuggle up and y'all like to, you know, spoon and then lean your back of your head into our faces with that. And do you know what that shit smells like while you trying to sleep? Do you like, you know, seriously, do y'all know like what it smells like to smell that burnt plastic hair that y'all put into y'all head and all the chemicals and shit, and we gotta endure that, and y'all wondering why your men are all here choking and coughing in the middle of the night. That's one of the reasons. Now I'm going out of order with this, but I want to talk about. Hold on, where is it? So it's always like, well, you know, black men are the only ones that don't like this, and black men are the only ones that don't like that, right? So check out this. This is the real MTR. This is MTR Mediocre Tutorial and Reviews. This is his channel. This is him reacting to a video where a man that's not black is describing the type of black women he likes. And, well, I'll let him say it, tweet.
I mean, yeah. But see, like, my taste in black women is a little bit more refined than the average black woman you find nowadays. Like, I like the Lauryn Hill type of black women, you know, the Pam Grier or the Tisha Campbell kind of black women. Like, why is it every time I walk through a mall or I walk into a convenience store, all the women there look like Glorilla or Sexy Red?
And he's not lying, but and ladies, y'all gonna have to take the L on this one because y'all chose this look, that Baps look, that look from that Halle Berry movie in the 90s. That shit was not supposed to be that was literally satire. It was not supposed to take on that look like this was something you're supposed to get into. All right, the whole drag queen look. All right, you know, whole Studio 57 look. And y'all wasn't supposed to do that. Not if you're trying like attracting men, and then you got all this crazy Kool-Aid color hair, and nobody interested in that. I mean, but the one thing he talks about, and I know this about most white men, see, brothers will settle for the wigs and shit. White men don't do that. Damn near every white man that I've seen with a woman, with a black woman, and I'm talking about in person. I'm not talking about, you know, TV, whatever. Damn that every one of them, the woman's hair is natural. And she will always appeal to his direction and fall under that, under his leadership. Because he won't tolerate it. And brothers, this is what I'm talking about. You understanding your understanding what your value is. Because a lot of you cats, man, have been raised to think pussy is the goal. Getting that kitten is the goal. And then when you don't, and I'm talking about cats, y'all, some of y'all in y'all 50s, y'all to be ashamed of yourselves running around chasing cat. Like you should have been more established at that point in life, right? But then, but there's going to be a follow-up to this. So hold tight. This was just in response to the clip you just heard. So check this out. There's more.
It's like those women just look like science experiments from the CIA meant to destroy the black community.
Big true.
So, like, if you're saying that, hey, man, do you think, like, Glorilla sexy? Hell no! Now, if you got me a girl that looked like Patrice Rushen, then all day, every day, let's get it cracking.
Come on.
But I'm not going to curse my children with a mother that goes, ski-yee, phone them. Ain't no way. Just ain't no way. The other thing is, too, is the...
Hold on for a second. Did he just go ski-yee? Hold on.
ski ye. Phone them. Ain't no way. Just ain't no way. The other thing is too is the disgusting hair, colored hair they have nowadays.
Yep.
Whatever happened to afros looking like your Garnet from Steven Universe?
Yeah.
Now they all got like red hair with green highlights. Like, look at Kanye West's daughter. It's like, baby girl, you do not need aquamarine hair make yourself look beautiful. You are beautiful the way you already were born.
Come on.
I don't need no girl to look like Hasenu Miku. Oh my gosh, bro.
I don't care what nobody.
And I'm gonna hold on.
He says this young brother right here is invited to the damn barbecue. He done summarized a whole generation of relationship problems in about 27 seconds. But guess what, my guy? Most black men are asking for the same things that you are. Isn't that ironic?
Now, MTR, you know, I'm gonna have to, you know, hold on.
Me personally, I wouldn't take this level of disrespect.
I'm tired of y'all Negroes inviting people to the damn barbecue. Cut it out, bruh. I like what Main Man said, but cut that shit the fuck out. We ain't not going. Y'all, first of all, most of y'all ain't qualified to invite nobody to the barbecue. Y'all lucky if y'all get to the barbecue. And this ain't to you, MTR personal. This is just period. All right? Cut that shit out, inviting people to the barbershop. Barbecue. Excuse me. Might as well invite them to the barbershop. Shit. All right. But anyway, the point is well made. These things are not attractive. But if you go back to what Jeff say, it's when women have a disdain for the men that they figure that the men don't deserve to be, you know, shown anything that would appeal to them. And see, that's why I'm saying, I don't understand that, like, you can't come to me for game in terms of like dating and this, that, and the other. I'm out of that. Like, I'm not here for that. I'm here for the social aspect of it, the sociological aspect of it, historical aspect and the context to it, anthropologist perspective. That's what I'm here for in terms of the black community, the cultural perspective. So when I speak to these things and I'm talking about these things, best believe I'm not talking to it from a standpoint of who you should date and who shouldn't date. I'm just saying who should respect you, right? There's more. There's more, you know, because this thing, and this is what we're talking about now, are reflective of the, you know, women being centered in a gynocratic universe that we live in. All right. So all these things are the fallout from the gynocracy, women wearing crazy, candy corn colored hairstyles and, you know, Kool-Aid mixtures and these, push broom eyelashes and things of that nature, things that are totally unattractive and things that actually detract away from them. Everything a woman does to their body, if it ain't in the gym, if it ain't at the plate, is destructive to the natural born beauty. Now, some women make mistakes, make excuses about beautifying themselves. That speaks to a level of subconscious level of low self-esteem. If you don't wake up happy with what you see in the morning, I don't know what to tell you. And that goes for everybody. Yeah, you might have some areas of imperfection you need to work on. Make those goals. But anyway, I want to show y'all what happens when this goes beyond the relationship, because I find it funny, like, people called it a gender war for the longest time, and I thought that was such bullshit. I still do, because it's not a gender war, it's who I want to sleep with war, it's who I want to lay up with war. That's what you're talking about. And look at the overall treatment men are getting. People are wondering why men are deciding to go their own way in the black community. It's for stuff like this. This, what we're about to see, is not even a monogamous relationship being discussed. Kinda, but not between the two people. Listen to this situation. I believe her name is Judge Faith, from the acclaim of being an analyst for MSNBC back about 2012, 2013, around the time of the George Zimmerman murder trial for killing Trayvon Martin. All right. She was like an expert associate of the program, specifically for like Nancy Grace. So check this out.
You say she told you what, sir?
She said that the wedding is off, Dad. Listen, and this is what she said. I know how you are about your money, so I'm going to try to sell the dress. I'm going to call them people. I'm going to call the dress people and try to see if I can return the dress to them.
And let me tell you one thing about my dad. He never once asked me, why you want to postpone the wedding? When I told him this, guess what the first thing he said? When you paying me my money back? He know I'm a single mother or two. He know that I do a lot of different things with my kids to make them great. And we here today. But it was him. He said he was giving me $10,000, nothing more, nothing less. So how is it a loan? It's what I'm not understanding.
Well, first of all, we need to call it out when we see it, right? I'm getting tired of the single mother economy. I'm getting tired of I'm a single mother. I'm doing the best I can. I'm getting tired of it. And one of the reasons I'm getting tired of it is because this is what we call generational curses. All right. The creation, maintenance and the perpetual nature of continuing generational curses. And I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of that being the norm. That is so dysfunctional in a community and society, especially when, you know, you're getting supplemented by, you know, the federal government, the state government, their programs put in place. It's not even almost. You're being incentivized to be a single mother at this point. And I'm tired of it because it is very one of the most destructive things to the Black community is single parenting, period. But the notion of creating these broken families and then utilizing them as the standard. All right. And an excuse when all goes wrong, because we act like we don't have jurisdiction over who we have sex with. And unless somebody takes it, unless somebody assaults you, then I'm struggling with figuring out how in the hell you continuously make babies. And I'm talking about whoever is making the babies, right? Both parents. It just so happens that less than 20% of the men that's making the babies are responsible for 80% of the single mothers in the Black community. Can I get an amen on that? Can I get a on that? Thank you. Hold on. Can I get a... But let us continue.
And he still has never asked me, how do I feel? He doesn't care because it's about Brian Branford. If I say I'm not getting married right now, ask me a question. Why? What's going on? Never.
I have a question for you, sir. Now that you've heard your daughter's testimony here today, do you really and truly believe that she is lying, saying that this wedding is postponed because she doesn't want to pay you back $3,000? Do you really and truly believe that?
Yes, Your Honor, I do.
So, sir, if there's proof that she's still with this man and that the wedding is going to take place in another 8 months, you're still going to pay $10,000 for the wedding?
Oh, no. I won't give her another dime.
So you were never genuine in the very beginning?
She's been very disrespectful to me, Your Honor. Very.
Okay.
I'm the daddy.
Listen.
You the child. You don't disrespect me. And I've been there from day one.
There's only one legal question here. Was the money you gave her a gift or was it a loan?
Now, I want y'all to pay attention to how she just totally, you know, evaded, you know, what his response was. That man said that they gave her the money for a wedding that was supposed to occur on a certain date. That wedding did not occur on that certain date. She went out and bought the dress. She went out and did other things with the money. The money wasn't spent on the wedding. And that was the purpose of the money, the gift, right? Now, hold on, I'm going to let go.
By your own testimony, sir, you said, I'm going to give her $10,000 for this wedding. The stipulation that she pay you back came after the fact. The money was a gift. It was a gift.
Yeah, it was,
it was
wedding,
clearly
Donna.
A gift.
Yeah, it was
You're
for the
giving
wedding.
Your daughter
and she's not
$10,000 for her wedding.
Yeah.
Of course it's a gift.
Yeah.
That's
no,
what fathers no, no. do yeah, for their but, daughters but when the, they get married. Yeah. Someday, she's probably going to get married.
When the fuck is Sunday supposed to get here? This is the stuff I'm talking about. and the inflection and the disrespect, because this man even is older than the judge. So why is she? Why does she have such a disrespectful and emotional tone? And believe it or not, yes, this is an entertainment, right? This show is entertainment. Keep in mind, right? This is sort of like a docu, whatever. But this happens in real courts. This happens in real proceedings. So I'm just saying, hold on.
So it's not like you threw $2,800 down the tube. She has a wedding dress that hopefully she will use sometime in the near future. Judging this case for the defendant.
See, and that's the shit I'm talking about, right? And this is why a lot of men are walking away. This is why a lot of brothers are walking away. Now there's another aspect to this too, right? There's more to it. Because you also have this perspective of why, you know, younger men, people don't understand. These young guys, younger fellas, and men in general are paying attention. Watch this.
Women break up their families and expect men to keep providing for them, like this one right here.
So I broke up with the father of my child, and initially, upon talking, he gave me 4 months to, like, get myself together. But then that quickly changed, and he was like, you got until the end of the month. Mind you, it's mid-July, so I didn't even have a full 30 days to kind of form a plan. And my thing is, like, as a man, why wouldn't you want to see the mother of your child be straight? And he feels like he did that the duration of the relationship. And once I decided not to be with him, his only priority is our daughter. And he feels like since he's more financially stable, he should keep her. I don't agree with that because he does not have the type of schedule that will allow him to be very present in her life. Like, even to this day, like, he's so busy that he don't really spend a lot of time with her. So, like, the fact that you're trying to frame it as if, like, she's better off with you is kind of crazy. I handle doctor's appointments. I get her ready for school. I get her ready for bed. I make dinner, all of that. The same person that you get in a relationship with is not the same person that you break up with. And there was a situation where I did put him out before. I was going through postpartum and emotions were high. It was wrong. But he told me ever since that moment, he always wanted to know how that would make me feel. That being said, you got it. So I had to put my big girl pants on. And am I ready for what's next? No. But what they say, do it not ready. You know, do it scared. Do it not knowing. So here I am.
What? What the? Y'all, we're hearing that a lot. What? How long was he supposed to take care of you? You made the decision to leave. Next thing you know, he'll be abusive and there'll be all these other charges that nobody can prove. And, you know, we live in a society, like I said, we live in a gynocracy where, you know, especially if you're a brother, man, you're guilty 10 times before you're proven innocent. So, you know, I mean, we don't know whether her, you know, the father of her child is a black man, because these days, you know, everybody's procreating with everybody. But you know, that's just, you know, it's wild. It's wild to hear the logic behind a lot of those things. And here's another one. Now, this is an actual white woman, so I don't know whether or not her husband is this and the other. And, you know, I don't, you know, I call it like, I'm giving y'all the visual description of who's talking. So that's just that. Let's check this out.
So I'm ordering old fashioned dirty martinis and these bars. Then we're going out to steak dinners with my coworkers and we're ordering expensive bottles of wine. And I'm showing up at home wasted. And I start resenting my husband because he's just like any normal husband probably would do. Like, what are you doing coming home on a Tuesday night at 10:30 drunk out of your mind? Like, where were you? And so I realized then that I couldn't be married anymore. I was like, this is not going to work out for me because, and again, I'm spinning the truth. I'm telling my family, he's so controlling. I got to get out of this relationship. I mean, he's insecure. It's just, I'm just saying whatever I need to make my family be like, I mean, that doesn't sound anything like him, but like, I guess, yeah, if you're unhappy, go for it. Not go for it. Obviously my family wasn't like, yeah, get divorced. But I mean, they were like, if it's going to make you happy, like, I guess you have to do what's going to make you happy.
And they don't know the real reason why. Yeah.
My mom will still say to this day, she watches my TikToks and she's like, I didn't know that you were hiding all this drinking from your ex, like my ex. And I was like, yeah, I know you didn't, because I did whatever I could to make you not know. And my ex-husband would not tell my parents because he knew that would just piss me off. Yeah. So he protected me in a sense, which beginning of December. And I get home and I'm like, I'm moving out. And he's just like, what? And I'm like, yep, I don't want to be married anymore. I want freedom. I feel like you're controlling me. You are always wondering where I am. Just like, yeah, of course he is. But I couldn't, it didn't make sense to me. And I'm experiencing this life of going out and not being tied down to anyone. And I'm like, this is what I missed all throughout my 20s, because I was in a serious relationship from the moment I got out of college to now, and I'm 30 years old. And so I just didn't, so again, I'm justifying. I'm like, I just need a couple years of going out in New York, get it out of my system. I just need it out of my system. It's just all pent up and I definitely don't have a problem. It's just me needing to live life a little bit. So I move out. That divorce was heartbreaking for him and for me, but I didn't experience the heartbreak until after I got sober because I drank through it all.
And I'm gonna give a caveat, because I've tried to stay in a relationship with, you know, I'm not gonna get too deep into it, but when you're dealing with somebody that has a substance abuse issue, whether it's drugs or alcohol, they are not their sober mind, their sober person. They are the demons that they're summoning. It becomes them. They become legion. And so in her particular situation, she created a situation and circumstance where she basically sabotaged her relationship for whatever was at the bottom of that bottle. Now, we often hear about men not sticking around or men not wanting to be the ones married and things of that nature. But the more social media that we get, you know, and so the more reflection that we see, we start to see the realities. And the reality is the men aren't the ones wanting to leave. The men aren't the ones trying to leave. Right? But it's gotten to a point where the brothers have really gotten fed up. And so in regards to, you know, in terms of like the landscape, this is the environment now. And I believe this is, his name is Najika. And I think Najika's True. Okay, her name is Najika True. And she put a post up on Facebook that I happened to see. And shout out to Dr. Tiasan Johnson, who, you know, I shared this with. And he actually, you know, spotlighted this particular post on one of his breakdowns, right? By the way, Doc, I'm not Doc, I'm Professor. Because I don't want nobody out here looking for, you know, checking to see if I, you know, have my accreditation or whatever and check in order. I don't want to deal with it. But so here's the post. The post says, it's sad that so many men feel like the only way to protect their peace is by being alone. Now, this post has over 15,000, nearly 16,000 likes, and thousands, I'm talking about 6,500 responses, as well as 2,200 shares. Okay? Listen to what the brothers are saying. Turmoil in a relationship lowers testosterone and weakens men's immune system. So why keep touching a hot iron? Be alone or get a passport to another culture that values collaborative relationships from the heart and don't need financial requirements to validate the relationship. Okay, here's some more. Yes, no wife, happy life. All right, another one. A man has to earn his peace by becoming successful to a degree. A woman ain't bringing peace to a man's life unless she's extremely feminine with no trauma. All All right. Not only protecting the peace, also the bank balance. See, I don't mind finding my type of lady, but it's not a must for me. I love my life the way it is now. But if I find someone that adds to my peace and happiness, then I would love a relationship. I am not going to jump in any relationship for the sake of being in one. So another brother replied to it. Alone and single, two different things, but there's peace in both. With two crying laughing emojis. Another brother. It's facts though. Another brother. Yep, is better off alone. Drama free environments. I seek or a woman of substance. Okay. See, and I want to point out something that you know, I observed it, and I was glad Dr. T observed as well. These men are not bashing women. They're not going out there talking about how terrible women are, this, that, and the other. These men are actually simply describing their experiences. They're describing scenarios that fit their circumstances. They are not talking or trying to gaslight anybody in these particular comments. And I just want to see, because I'm curious to see some of these comments that have gotten replies. I'm pretty sure there's some female replies to some of these. So let's see if there's any ladies replying to this. Okay, so far no ladies replying. But typically posts like this, you won't see a woman. Unless she's saying something like and vice versa or some silly shit like that. So, and there's a long, I'm not reading that, it's a book. So somebody else says, but it's healthy, yo. It's healthy, yo. There's nothing stressing like a woman in earth. All right. You know, let's see. Some people say, Listen to this one. This is a rational one, right? But we are lonely while we are maintaining our peace. Maybe someday women will wake up and learn to be a part of that peace. We are both losing and families are being destroyed and many never being created. All right. The juice is no longer worth the squeeze. There are hundreds of these. Thousands of these messages by the men. It's just easier. My home is my peace without the extra BS. Most women today don't know how to keep a great man. Facts. All right. That's not me saying it. That's the person I'm reading off. I'm reading this right off the page. Let me say it's a fact. Everybody wants to roll up on and sneak this in, but. Oh, what is it? Oh, hold on. Let me read it again. It's a fact. Everybody wants to roll up on you, sneak dissing, or being disrespectful and passive aggressive, insulting, smiling. Wow. I'm sorry. There's just no, like, the brother wrote this without any, you know, there's no commas or anything in this shit. He said, but shit, okay, I can't finish reading that because it's just one long ass runoff sentence. I can tell some of these cats were writing this shit while they were driving. Saying not sad for a single happy and content man. Most women out there are trying to rob a brother with some no good pee sleeve, trying to get free, trying to get a free ride in life. Bye, Felicia. There's more. It's like, absolutely, you begin to understand this as you get older. And I've been telling people for long. I got some brothers I talked to personally. And I've explained to them, because they're crossing that threshold between, you know, being in late 30s to the early 40s. I said, once you get into your early 40s, man, you know, and you deal with the fact that your body doesn't produce testosterone the same way it used to, and so you're not thinking with the little head, you're thinking with the big head. Logic is, you know, is winning the duel versus lust. You start to, you know, it's like what they call, ejaculation clarity, I believe they call that. And where you think better and you think clearly, you're not strictly motivated by your loins. It's funny, man. Seinfeld had an episode about that. And it was like he was dating this woman that was just like repulsive, but she was gorgeous. So in his mind, his libido was having a chess game with his brain, the logical portion of his brain. Eventually, logic won, and he had to say goodbye to her. But it was hilarious. So, you know, hold on. It's a few more that I'm going to. It's some long ones. I just want to read the short ones because there's a lot. All right. So another brother stated, yes, and being stressed from the being stress free from all the effing drama. I'm saying effing, right? That comes with some of y'all. All right. And like I said, you're not going to find any women replying to this one, this post. Now, you do have some simps that snuck up in here. But, you know, hopefully they, you know, cleaned the board. Let's see. This is one. Many women carry the spirit of torment. Sometimes avoiding them is the only way to get peace. And he ain't never lied. He ain't never lied. You know, you're absolutely right. Thumbs up. Too many drama queens and messy girls. I mean, this list goes on. And this is the thing. The post itself wasn't what drew my eyes or drew my attention. It was the number of brothers. Like this, I'm just scrolling. One brother has a picture. A lot of men are starting to realize it's better to be alone than being what's left over here. The brothers ain't playing, man. This is what I'm talking about. So, in response to this, right? But, you know, you even because brothers are tired of this type of story, too. Hold on. Where is it at? Brothers are tired of this particular kind of story, too. And I want y'all to check this out because this brother right here says something that I can relate to. Check this out.
Nigga for so long, and you get to see how women behave while they're in relationships and how they treat men that they really love.
I'm going to start it over so y'all can hear the whole thing, all right? Because he was talking about who he was, okay?
Being a side nigga for so long, and you get to see how women behave while they're in relationships and how they treat men that they really love, and you see women, how they treat men that actually they're providing, actually taking care of shit. Man, I seen a girl I was talking to, man, her nigga done built her a whole goddamn house from the ground up. She riding in his truck and everything. And you wanna cheat with the nigga that work at goddamn Nike Factory? It fucks you up mentally because as a man, you wanna do these things. You wanna be able to, I wanna build my woman house and do this and do that. But then you see how the men who actually out here doing this shit, how they get treated, you like, ugh, simp, real simp. But in reality, they don't even be simp niggas. They just niggas taking care of business and they going through it with these women and doing this shit. And they doing the best they can and shit, they still getting it. So why do it in the first place when you gonna do it anyway?
So what he's basically saying is the men that actually are the ones the ladies claim they want, right? The brothers that have the brothers that are six figures, the brothers that are providers, this, that, and the other, they still are out here getting slopped down by a slam dance by the brothers that they really want to deal with. And I tell brothers all the time, don't, they'll have you out here like,
what more do you want from me?
So, and I tell y'all brothers that a lot, man, because the women that want you, want you. The rules are for the guys they don't like. All right? heard the white guy, the woman he'd be interested in dating, right? Patrice Rushen. My God, have you seen Patrice Rushen? She is gorgeous. Anyway. But here's what's happening to the dating scene. And I think this is hilarious that it's gotten to this point. All right. I think it is. Hold on. Where'd it go? Let's see. I got so many things going on here. I got to find out where I found it at. Where'd it go? Okay. This is what's happening to the dating scene. So check this out. I want y'all to check this out as too. Check this out as well.
I recently went to an event and there were about 1,000 people there. And of the couples that were there, about 95% of them were black men with non-black women. The person leading the event was a black man that was married to a white woman. I'd be lying if I said that seeing all of this at the same time was not triggering. This is pretty much what the dating scene looks like overall in LA. Here are four other observations that I picked up on since moving to LA. One, it's not equal. It's not like I'm seeing a bunch of black women dating outside their race. In fact, I'm barely seeing black women dating at all. Two, it's gotten so bad that at this point, whenever I do see a black man that's single, the first thing that I'm asking myself is, I wonder if he dates black women. Three, within the past couple months, I've had conversations with multiple black women that actually want to leave LA. Not because of the economy, not because they aren't flourishing in their careers, but simply because they feel like there's no love for them in LA. As a black woman myself, I can tell you honestly, when it comes to the romantic space, I have never felt more invisible than I do living in LA.
And shout out to JR Wisdom. We clipped that one too. All right. That is what we're dealing with now in 2026. All right. And that was a year ago than this post one. I've seen this one over. It's over a year old. All right. You got men who realize that to be the provider, you're going to get cheated on. And didn't have the resources. The very resources you put into a relationship are going to go towards somebody else. Now, I want, you know, I could go more into it, but the bottom line is the juice ain't worth the squeeze, and this is why brothers, the black men, are going MGTOW. And on top of that, there's some other factors too. I want y'all to listen to this short clip by our good brother, Dr. Jeff St. James, and there's a comedian out there. Y'all probably know him as Mr. Top 5 out of New York, and his name is Will Mills. So I want y'all to check this out as we get ready to close out this particular program. Check this out.
Honorable mentions. I think Camden, New Jersey, five worst cities to find women and why.
So Vegas, New York City, Miami, and Atlanta. And what's another one? You got to be careful. Got to really watch yourself. L.A. Mm-hmm. L.A. women, bro. L.A. Mm-hmm. Because it's extreme differences. Either you got the girl who's superficial and she thinks she the shit, or you got the girl who's affiliated with a gang, bro. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're getting. Well, you might get both. So LA, I would put them like in like opposites of New York City women. Mm-hmm. You gotta be real careful. You gotta get to know this girl. And last but not least, all of these women I named, if you meet them on your terms. Tell them to meet you where you need to be. Don't go to their house. Don't pull up on them nowhere, bro. Mm-hmm. Tell you, don't pull up. Don't do it. Don't meet them at no hotel. You meet them at a designated area and you pick the place. And right. By no means do you go to her apartment.
100%. I'm going to do some honorable mentions. I think Camden, New Jersey, and Philly. Man.
Who's going bro. There? Listen, Camden, New Jersey looks like the Book of Eli, bro. Like, why? You should pull up a picture. Have you just Googled Camden, New Jersey?
I'm gonna do it right.
If you Google Camden, New Jersey and click on images, I ain't gotta tell you. Watch what pictures come up.
Oh, God. I'm downloading it now.
Oh, shout out to Camden, man. Y'all caught a terrible stray on that one. But it was real. You know, it's so dangerous out here. That's the one aspect that, like, you know, women try to like, they try to pretend like none of these issues really exist in terms of like trying to deal with them. And the bad part is they provide cover for the backdoor queens. They provide cover for the scamming chicks. They provide cover for the cheating chicks. And the first thing they'll say is, well, men do it too. Men backdooring women? Only if they're in that life. I don't know too many men that invite a woman on a date and she got to worry about him setting her up to get robbed. First of all, women ain't bringing no money out there. Most of them leave their damn purse at home. Going on a date these days anyway, but men got to worry about all that shit, man. And so this is why the juice ain't worth the squeeze. Now I'm breaking it down now, but I gotta go. So brothers, as I often tell y'all, and there was another clip I was gonna play, we run out of time. Watch your neck, brothers, and remember War and Peace, because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And with that, I am out of here.